Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. For more information, you can go to their website, gogginkold.com. A little change of scheduling today. A last-minute thing came up for Trey Scott with 24/7 Sports. And so at 5:35, he was nice enough to give us a relief pitcher. I guess, you know, Trey was having arm problems, so we got a new closer today, Chris Hummer, National College Football writer with 24/7 Sports. He joins us at 5:35. And speaking of joining us, like we love to do every Friday at this time at 5:05, handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Happy Friday to you, Lee, and as always, welcome back.
Oh, thanks a lot, yeah. So if it's anywhere close to last Saturday, college football and the NFL, I think we're going to be set after that Minnesota upset of Penn State and then LSU, Alabama. So excited to see how the weekend. Every weekend is. I don't think I've ever had a bad weekend watching football. But I have a feeling this one's going to be special this weekend.
Well, we keep getting, I mean, we've noticed this in recent years anyway, but especially this year, where you got teams, not just once or twice, so many times, they could be a 3-touchdown underdog and still find ways to, forget about covering, find ways to win games outright.
Well, my biggest play of the year last week was Illinois. They were plus 14. They won the game outright, so I think that just added to my viewing pleasure.
Hey, by the way, I know we've had this discussion before. We're talking about, and this is not one of the games we're actually taking on today, but Ohio State, a 53-point favorite against Rutgers. It's the largest spread, in a Big Ten contest in 40 years. And you know, one of those things, it's like when you're throwing out that many points, I understand Ohio State, you know, no big deal, 60, 70 points.
Yep.
But when you throw out that many points, so many things have to go right for you to be able to cover that many points.
Unless you're playing Rutgers.
Well,
you know what? Games above 40 points, anything above 40 points, I just think it's way, way too much. I stay off the game normally, so.
And see, I don't blame you.
Too many things can happen. You know, backdoor, you know, score one way or, you know, something like that. Just not something I'm usually – I don't want my games decided by, you know, when are they going to put in the backups. On a 4th and 10 or 4th and goal from the 10-yard line with, 20 seconds to go in the game, is that going to be the play that determines – winning or losing, just not the way I want to spend my money.
All right, let's get things started. First of all, here locally, 2:30 start time, Kentucky in town to take on Vanderbilt tomorrow afternoon. Kentucky at 4-5, find ways to win two of your last three games. Guess what? You're bowling. And certainly from a Mark Stoops perspective, you're also wanting to keep on winning just to keep impressing folks down in Tallahassee, knowing that job is still available as well. When you look at the matchup, I see, you know, there's negatives for both of these teams. Kentucky doesn't pass the ball well. They don't have a lot of offense per se. But when you look at what they don't do well and you compare it to what Vanderbilt either does or does not do well, we're almost looking like an Alabama versus a directional school kind of thing. Here's Kentucky coming to town, 10-point favorite against Vanderbilt. And, you know, it's one thing to be down 14-0 at the half against the Gators last week, which Vanderbilt was. It's another thing altogether to get outscored 42-0 in the last two quarters to get beat 56-0. I just don't have a lot of faith that Vanderbilt will show enough tomorrow. So I'm taking Kentucky, giving Vanderbilt the 10, and Alan Bell doing the same thing. He's giving Vanderbilt the 10, mainly because he also feels like they're still angry with the way the game played out last week against the Vols.
Well, you could take it that way. You could take it, you know, this is a team just can't finish. And here, though, I have about 12 different rules to handicapping, and one of them falls into never lay double-digit points with a team that's not a good scorer and or a team that's not a dual-threat offense. And Kentucky is both of those things. They just, unless they're playing nobody, and Vanderbilt's close to that, this team is not a real big scorer, and they're not balanced at all. So, biggest problem for Vanderbilt, these haven't been able to develop a quarterback. I think they got to find a way to do that. I have a sneaking suspicion both these coaches are gone. I think Kentucky's Mark Stoops is going to end up at Florida State, and Derek Mason's going to be released in a couple weeks. I think Kentucky wins the game 20-14, but I like Vandy here, plus the double digits.
I'm really intrigued to see where you go with this next one. You've got LSU on the road taking on Ole Miss. The game's being played in Oxford. LSU, a 21.5-point favorite against Ole Miss. You know, I've watched Ole Miss, and the fact that, you know, this team is certainly a team, circled them, because over the next 2 or 3 years, you know, knowing that all the experience, you know, these freshman players are getting, 80-plus percent of their offense being generated by freshmen. I love watching John Rhys Plumlee play at quarterback. And when we look at this matchup, it's a night game in Oxford. Do I expect Ole Miss to upset LSU? No. But 21.5 points is strong, knowing that this is an Ole Miss team. I think we'll have some success being able to move the ball. They do some nice things. And to me, nice enough things, and you compare that to, you know, LSU is due for a little bit of a letdown. And so I'm going to take Ole Miss plus the 21.5, and for the second consecutive game, Alan Bell on the same side for the similar reasons as what I just stated.
So I normally rarely ever play a game based on due to win, due to have a letdown. But like you, this is one of those games I think we're going to see it. LSU really has not had one of those games yet this year, and Ole Miss is 2-4 straight up the last six games, but 5-1 against the spread the last 6 weeks, and they really should have covered all six. I mean, that Texas A&M game, they were plus six. That 62-yard fumble return for a touchdown was the game that just flipped. You know, that was a play that flipped the game. So if there ever was a spot for a letdown, this is it for LSU. I just think playing a team that poses different problems might give LSU a little bit of a hiccup here. John Rhys Plumlee, 177 rushing yards again last week, and series underdog 15-7 last 22 in the series. Give me LSU to win the game 42-26, but Ole Miss to cover.
All right, let's see with the next one. And there's a difference between what I think is going to happen in this game and what Alan Bell thinks. I've said it back in July. I've said it the entire football season, and I'll say it again. Auburn wins this game tomorrow against Georgia. And you go, well, wait, Georgia's the better team. Maybe so. But here's the thing, a big difference, and you know, when you look at the responsibility that Bo Nix has this year, and certainly his troubles on the road, you've noticed them. And of course, you think about road trips to Florida, a road game at LSU. He learned. I mean, look at what he did in the LSU loss. I mean, he had LSU there by a field goal. I mean, the fact that he played well, he made mistakes there, a couple of mistakes against Florida where that game could have been Auburn down by four with 4 minutes to go, Auburn with the ball with a chance for a game-winning drive. At home, just a different player. He doesn't make the same kind of mental mistakes. He makes better decisions, speaking of Bo Nix. I love Derrick Brown and that defensive front for the Auburn Tigers. I don't even need the points, but I'm going to take them. I'm taking Auburn to win outright, but I'll take the plus three. Alan Bell, he says, you know, this is the perfect game to go the other direction, but he just feels like Georgia is better, and that's why he feels like the Dogs will get it done. He's taking the Bulldogs, giving the three.
Okay, there's a couple things that I saw when I studied this game. I thought it was going to take Auburn, but then I got deeper into studying and watching tapes of games, and watched the game last year again, and Georgia dominated. They not only win the game easy, they dominated just running the ball up and down the field on Auburn, 522 total yards to Auburn's just 274 And in that game, Jarrett Stidham was the quarterback for Auburn. Head and shoulders above Bo Nix right now. Bo Nix, if you study the four games against ranked teams this year, hasn't thrown for above 177 yards in any game. How has Jake Fromm done against top-flight competition against Notre Dame? He completes 77% of his passes, and against Florida, not only completes 67% of his passes, they go 13 for 18, third down conversions. And as good as the Auburn defensive line is, Georgia defense is just flat out better. They're number one in red zone defense, and no one, this is through nine games, I can't remember the last time I've seen this, through nine games, no one has had a rushing touchdown against them. Also, about Whitlow, the running back for Auburn, being hurt early in the year, their running game's not the same. DeAndre Swift, is he a sophomore or junior?
Oh, that's a good question. He may be one of those redshirt, you know, sophomores, per se.
Okay, so he is a junior. He's coming out. He's going to be, in my opinion, I think he's going to be one of the 10 best running backs in the NFL next year right away, that quickly. I like Georgia here, 24-13.
He's a junior, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. All right, so, and I go back to, I remember Jake Fromm, only other appearance in Auburn. We know how that game played out. So that's why I'm still going with Auburn in this one. This will be a fun one, and it certainly has a lot of implications with regards to the college football playoff. I was jokingly saying that Oregon wants Auburn to look good, take care of business against Georgia, but that's that the spin this week. But then in 2 weeks from now, obviously when they take on Alabama, it's almost like you want to downplay it because, you know, you're going to be stuck if you're Oregon knowing you need Auburn to help you make that loss look not as bad back in the first week of the season. But at the same time, you don't want Alabama to look too good either if they beat Auburn. So it's one of those strange things shaping up with over these last 3 weeks of the regular season. All right, turning our attention to the NFL, Lee, we've got New England on the road, 3.5-point favorite taking on the Eagles. And boy, the general public, West Coast to East Coast, just jumping all over this, taking the Patriots and giving the 3.5. My attitude is not so fast. And, you know, just it's easy to get lost into the mix with the Patriots and the job that Bill Belichick and certainly Tom Brady and some of these nice road wins that the Patriots have had. But just this comes down to the fact that I just think this is an opportunity for the Eagles. I like the matchup for them. I actually think they're going to get the job done, and I'm getting 3.5. I wouldn't even be surprised at all to see the Eagles win this game on Sunday, but I'm getting the 3.5. So I'm going to take the Eagles plus the 3.5. Alan Bell's on the other side. He threw out a stat where the Patriots were 14-5 under Bill Belichick after a bye week. Yeah, that's all fine and dandy, but I'm still going to stick with the Eagles plus the 3.5.
You know, I'm still waiting for Doug Pederson, his coach that had the perfect game plan and the perfect play calls for a Super Bowl. Since that time, he hasn't really called a game even close to that. So I'm still waiting for it. And New England, you know, they have trouble with Lamar Jackson, but really no one else at quarterback. And just like the way that Tom Brady's starting to really feel comfy now with Mohamed Sanu, I like New England here, 30-17.
All right, and then sure. This next game, and I'm glad you put it out there because there's so many different directions this game could go. Here we are, you know, the fact that Baltimore's got a three-game edge in the AFC North, and even still, we're still wondering if Lamar Jackson's the real deal. I mean, Baltimore right now in a position to have a bye as far as the first round of the playoffs, but here they are at home against Houston. They're a 4-point favorite, and, you know, at some point you have to just recognize the fact that Lamar Jackson isn't going away. He's able to execute. He's able to produce just magic each and every week. And the fact that at this game being played in Baltimore, I just love the matchup for the Ravens. So the Ravens giving 4, I don't like giving that many points, especially against a good team like Houston. But I think we're discovering that the AFC South is not like, I mean, I know it's competitive, but it's competitive for all the wrong reasons, because if Houston loses, there's a game that separates first from last, and it's not because of a lot of great teams in the AFC South. It's because of mediocrity. I'm taking Baltimore, giving Houston the 4. Alan Bell's on the opposite side. He's taking Houston plus the 4.
You know, I think this game's a trap. I think you see the line, and what have you been seeing the last couple weeks? All we're seeing is highlights. last week from Lamar Jackson, one of the most incredible moves and runs we've seen in a long time by a quarterback. The week before, they knock off New England. Houston, the only time you watch them is on Sunday, when they're on Sunday night or Monday night football. No one really chooses to watch them, it seems like. But I think the problem here for Baltimore is the perception is they have this great defense, but only 14 sacks on the year, only 11 takeaways. Also have the perception they're a really good home team. Well, they're 2-7-1 against the spread versus the number at home last 10 games. And Carlos Hyde, great pickup by Houston right before the season started, went under the radar. He's averaging almost 5 yards a carry, has over 700 yards rushing already. I think he's balanced out the offense. I think Baltimore's going to win 35-34. I think the public's going to be all over Baltimore. I think the line's going to rise to 5-5.5 at game time. And don't fall for the trap. Take Houston. They're going to find a way to cover.
All right, your game of the week, Alabama trying to bounce back. They're an 18.5-point favorite on the road taking on Mississippi State.
So, should be a fun game to watch here. Now all of a sudden Tua's not playing. Maybe it's a little more competitive. You want to get Alabama's Mississippi State, just call 800-400-9741. Get this game for free. And we're on a roll, had our biggest play of the year. Last week, 50-unit college football underdog shocker with Illinois. They win the game outright, plus 14.5 points over Michigan State. So with that win now on these 40-plus unit plays now going back over the last 12 years, we're documented 40-17. I found another game. We're going to release this as a 40-unit play for Saturday. Anyone wants to get this game, how about this? We don't call it November, we call it Dovember. 3 weeks of games. If you sign up for our 3-week package through Monday, December 2nd, get all my games, 10 to 14 games a week. If we don't hit this 40 unit selection, I'm going to guarantee it. We don't win it, you'll win. You'll get every single game I've got from December 3rd all the way through the Super Bowl for free. So just go to ParamountSports.com, sign up for the Dovember special, $247 for 3 weeks of action. And always check out the website. A lot of free videos, a lot of games that we didn't have time to discuss, like Oklahoma-Baylor, Iowa-Minnesota, Michigan-Michigan State, and Navy-Notre Dame. All those free pick videos are up available, ParamountSports.com.
Always, Lee, it's a pleasure. I hope you have an incredible weekend. Happy football winnings to you, and we certainly look forward to talking to you again next Friday.
Okay, thanks, Johnny.
Thank you, buddy. Lee Sterling, once again, Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com. And that number again, 800-400-9741, 800-400-9741. Hey, I'd like to invite you to check out our friends with Penn Station East Coast Subs, locations to serve you in Hermitage, also the two locations in Murfreesboro, Memorial Boulevard, or Medical Center Parkway. All this month, try the Founder Special. It's the cheesesteak sub with a splash of teriyaki and extra cheese, along with fresh-cut fries and drink, all at a special price. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Well, good afternoon. I'm looking at this crash here in Rutherford County on the interstate. It's 24 eastbound near Highway 96. People are really slowing down to Rubberneck here out in Rutherford County on the interstate. There's a crash 3700 block at Murfreesboro Pike getting some attention. It's just busy on all the major outbound routes as they clear up that wreck at Bell Road at Nashboro. Get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart Fare save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary Valet parking is always available.
And And now, American Veterans United Heating and Air is reminding motorists to slow down on our roadways, keep an eye out for kids at play, and never text and drive. This safety tip is courtesy of veteran-owned and operated AVU Heating and Air, a third-generation heating and cooling company. When it comes to the very best in residential heating and cooling, trust the name we trust. AVU Heating and Air, giving 15% off to all veterans. Call 931-842-5392. That's 931-842-5392. AVU Heating and Air, they're people who care.
Hey, this is George Plaster. I don't pretend to know everything about printing, but my buddy and former BGA classmate James Warren does, and he should. He's the owner of Sir Speedy Music City. Let's talk a little bit about mailing, because that's important.
It is, George. So a lot of people use mailing to get in front of customers, direct mail. We've got, at the end of the year, there's always the big mailers that go out for insurance companies and that sort of things. But we see that mail helps people get in front of their audience. You'd be surprised at how many people actually open an envelope or look at a postcard when it comes to their house. And we can do it cheaper than you can mail it.
And you can do it well. Give people the particulars, phone number, website.
We're at 615-832-9511. Our website is SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. You can reach us at print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And as always, when you go in there, you tell them Plaz sent you.
Redneck Nation Radio is on Nashville Sports Radio. Catch one of the longest running radio shows devoted to the Nashville Predators.
I'm Kyle Turris of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Colton Sissons of the Nashville Predators.
Every game day morning at 5 with Crazy Charlie Saunier.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Nashville Sports Radio and Redneck Nation, a match made in hockey. Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Coal Hall Studios. 615-844-5600 if you'd like to be a part of the show. 844-5600. Coming up at 535, Chris Hummer. He is a national college football writer with 24/7 Sports. Nice enough to fill in Trey Scott, who usually joins us on Fridays. He is the national editor of college football coverage with 24/7 Sports. Had a last-minute emergency come up. Chris Hummer, nice enough to fill in for him. Tonight, coming up at 6:45, pregame coverage with kickoff just after 7, Jay. You have Ensworth tonight on the road over in Memphis taking on Briarcrest. And so Jonathan Schaefer along with Greg Pogue, Dan Bradley on the call. At halftime, you will have a scoreboard update along with a complete recap of all the playoff action after the conclusion of this Ensworth game tonight.
Yeah, a lot of good games going on around the mid-state and all around the state with the second-round matchups in Division One. Division Two is in quarterfinal action. That's where Ensworth is with Briarcrest. If they win, they'll play McCauley next Friday, or the winner of McCauley and their team that they play. And but also another game's going on, Shelbyville at Beach. Also, we got, you know, Ravenwood's playing Independence in Cane Ridge. They just played 2-3 weeks ago, and Cane Ridge won that game. So it should be a really good matchup tonight. And so I think there's a lot of games going on around the mid-state that if you see the lights out there in the distance, go check it out.
Well, you have NBA at Baylor. That's one matchup there as far as that's Division II 3A. And then you look at some of the other games, some 6A action tonight. You know, Cambridge, as you mentioned, 8-3, hosting a 10-1 Ravenwood squad. At this time too, when you see records like Blackman 7-4, Hendersonville 6-5, it doesn't matter.
No, it don't matter now.
The only thing matters now, you're both 0-0 going into action tonight, and see where it plays out. I do like, you know, matchups like we get where Independence tonight at Brentwood. That's going to be a fun matchup.
Yeah, I mean, they're just right down the road from each other, Thompson Station and Brentwood, so just right down 65. So that should be a lot of fun tonight. I mean, Brentwood and Independence, that's been two big programs in the last 5 years here in the mid-state. So you can get out there and watch some high school games.
And you're also looking for, you know, potential upsets. You know, you got the mixture of teams that have so far been able to go through the regular season and the first round of the playoffs, say undefeated. You know, I'm looking at an 11-0 Oakland team, and obviously one of the best teams in the state. And they are taking on and hosting a 7-4 Mount Julia squad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the kind of things where it's not like it can't happen as far as the upsets. You know, these things, when you talk about high school players, I mean, anything can happen. And if you have a motivated team and all of a sudden a couple of breaks go their way with key turnovers, you never know how that's going to play out.
No, especially Mount Julia. I mean, they beat Oakland a few years ago and stopped their streak. So it's not like the Golden Bears can't go down to Oakland tonight and not beat the Patriots. So I think it's going to be a good game, but Oakland's just got so many weapons.
Hey, by the way, recapping our picks as far as with Lee Sterling Handicapper with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com, I find myself, I'm by myself on three games, and Lee is by himself on one. We start with Kentucky coming to town tomorrow afternoon to take on Vanderbilt. Kentucky, a 10-point favorite on the road. And both Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline and myself, we like Kentucky in this game, given the 10. And one of the reasons why Lee went the direction of Vanderbilt plus the 10 is just the fact that, you know, where's the passing game for Kentucky? And you know, and the bottom line for me, I've watched Kentucky play. I've watched Lynn Bowden play. Can they pass enough? Can he pass? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just – I just don't like the way Vanderbilt played last week. I understand they were taking on a solid team in Florida, but to get outplayed like that in the second half, I mean, to me, that's just you wonder where the mindset will be with the squad for Vanderbilt when they play Kentucky tomorrow.
It's going to be tough because, I mean, I think Vandy's defense is up for the challenge. Of course, you can say that about last week, 56, but it was only 14-0 at the half. But can Vandy muster enough offense to be able to go up against Kentucky? We'll see.
We all have, all three of us, have Ole Miss plus the 21.5 against LSU. I don't think, none of us believes that LSU is going to lose the game.
No.
But we all feel that Ole Miss can generate enough offense, especially where they can at least score enough to keep it within the 3+ touchdown. And so all three of us at home tomorrow night, we have Ole Miss plus the 21.5. I'm by myself on the next three. And, you know, look, I just like Bo Nix and Auburn. And you can go, well, you know, comparing to what Jake Fromm has done with Georgia and all that. Yeah. Only thing I know is when Georgia played at Auburn 2 years ago, you go, well, that's 2 years ago. Well, still, and so you can make the case that maybe Georgia was even playing better brand of football then.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, they you know, come in, they were a playoff team. They were one of your top four. And what happened to them? They go into Auburn and lose that ball game. They were the number one team, by the way. Here they are this year, number four. They were Georgia was the number one team when they went into Auburn back in 2017. They lose the game and drop to number 7 after that. Both Lee and Allen have Georgia, given the 3. I'm going to stick with it. I think Auburn wins the game outright by themselves. I'm also on the different side with New England and Philadelphia. Look, I keep going back to the old analogy. There's a reason why the hotels are so huge in Vegas. And it's because of like a matchup that we get with the New England Patriots on the road, giving the 3.5 as far as the Eagles are concerned, and the game's being played in Philadelphia. And, you know, the general public loves the Patriots in this matchup, and it's great. But you're giving me 3.5, and I'm the home team. I'm taking the Eagles in this one. I think they can generate enough, and don't be stunned. I mean, 83% taking the Patriots in this game.
Yeah.
And it's like, good. I'm taking the Eagles plus the points. And then finally, Baltimore-Houston, you know, this is one of these matchups. It could go so many different directions. And that's why even if it's one of the closer games as far as the general public, 54% they have Houston taking the points, 46% of the country taking Baltimore, given the 4, and mainly because you can see the scenarios with Deshaun Watson in Houston, Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. I just look, there's a reason why Baltimore has won 5 straight. They're playing at home. They're 7-2, have the nice cushion there in the AFC North. And they still feel like they have a chip on their shoulder because they still feel like they have something to prove. And that's why I'm by myself with this one, taking Baltimore, giving Houston the four, where Allen and Lee both have Houston plus the four.
Yeah, I mean, I think Baltimore is by far the better team right now, especially with J.J. Watt done for the year with Houston. I mean, I think that defense is very vulnerable. So I think Lamar Jackson and that offense could possibly have a field day. Now, I don't think it's going to be necessarily a blowout like they did a couple weeks ago, like 49-14 or whatever, but I can see them putting up 35-40 points.
All right, coming up, first time we've had our next guest, Chris Hummer. He's the national college football writer with 24/7 Sports. Also coming up just after 6, Alan Bell to talk Week 11 of the NFL. He is with CBS Sportsline. All that still to come leading up to Innsworth football tonight, 6:45 for the pregame and the kickoff just after 7. Innsworth on the road taking on Briarcrest over in Memphis. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Still heavy traffic flow now trying to get past this accident scene where they're rubbernecking here in Rutherford County. It's 24 eastbound at Highway 96. Again, that's as you head out towards Murfreesboro. You see that big backup. There's a wreck with injuries. Trinity Lane at Scruggs. 440 eastbound between Hillsboro Pike and Franklin Pike. On that accident, TDOT's trying to get to it right now and move it out of your way. Hey, get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart Fare save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time. Traffic.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
Penn Station likes to mix it up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads, fresh cut fries, chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Visit Penn Station East Coast Subs in Hermitage and the two locations in Murfreesboro. This month, try the Founder's Special, the cheesesteak sub with a splash of teriyaki and extra cheese with fresh cut fries and drink at a special price. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Five-state forecast. From the Max 96.7 Weatherbug Weather Center. For this afternoon, we'll see plenty of sunshine with temperatures near 50. It'll be mainly clear tonight, low 26. Saturday, sunny, high 54. Plenty of sunshine Sunday at the high 56. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network and National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Wow. Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. This segment brought to you by friends with Lanham's AC Service, your local Rood Pro partner. And big thanks to our next visitor. Last-minute emergency came up. Trey Scott normally joins us on Fridays, national editor for college football with 24/7 Sports. And Chris Hummer, nice enough to fill in. It's just like, you know, your starter developed a little something wrong with the arm, and all of a sudden you go to the closer, Chris Hummer. He's a national college football writer with 24/7 Sports, filling in. Chris, thank you for taking time out with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'll do my best to fill Trey's shoes today.
Hey, by the way, you know, here we are. We got the second week as far as the college football playoff committee poll that came out on Tuesday. And, you know, I noticed after last weekend with not only Alabama but Penn State falling after the first poll, and, you know, in the storyline that so far going into this year, four previous teams starting in 2014 that were ranked in the top four in that first poll, when they lost after the first week, none of those four teams made it into the playoff. And I was quick to point out on Monday that, oh, yeah, fine, you can throw that out there. I'm going to give you teams like a Michigan State in 2015 that wasn't even ranked. They were seventh. They lose after the initial poll, fall to 13. They made it into the playoff. And then three other teams, Clemson in 2016, lost after the second week. They made it to the playoff, won the national championship. And then in 2017, we had a Georgia team at number one, just like, you know, a Georgia team this week at number four. They go into Auburn, lose. Georgia makes it not only to the playoff, they play for the national title against a team in Alabama who fell after 4 weeks. They lost and still made it to the playoff, and they won the national title. So, you know, it's great where we stand, but with the difference between 2014 and 2019 is the fact that we have 11 teams going into this weekend still very much can make a case that they could be one of the four playoff teams if they take care of their business.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, stats like that are nice, but they're just kind of historical anecdotes to throw in as kind of the basis of somebody's argument. I don't think Penn State or Alabama are quite out of the playoff picture yet or anywhere close to it.
Exactly.
Penn State, for its part, like, totally controls its own destiny. If Penn State wins out, it's going to the college football playoff. That would mean beating Ohio State and likely Minnesota in the Big Ten championship game. I don't think Alabama's out either. The Crimson Tide have clearly shown the committee that they're one of the better teams in the country. They placed them fifth even after a loss to LSU. And we've seen teams kind of in that position hold throughout the rest of the kind of process. And there's certainly a chance a Big 12 or Pac-12 team really impresses down the line and jumps Alabama. But yeah, I think you'd be short-sighted to eliminate the Tide or the Nittany Lions after just one loss.
I was making the joke about an Oregon team that right now, certainly when you talk about a team from the Pac-12, they will have the opportunity, if they win their last three regular season games, a chance then to play in the Pac-12 conference title game, is most likely against a Utah team. Here's an Oregon team certainly pulling for Auburn to take care of business against Georgia. But at the same time, you know, you got to be careful if you're Oregon, because if Auburn looks too good and then Bama beats Auburn by double digits at the end of the month, then that makes Oregon's loss to Auburn that much worse from back in Labor Day.
Yeah, it's funny. I guess there's Auburn fans all over the country this
Absolutely.
Time of year, including in Eugene and Tuscaloosa, which is, it must be tough for Alabama fans to kind of stomach that.
Well,
yeah, I think Auburn's kind of the key to the entire November in college football. There are half a dozen teams that are really counting on Auburn for a big win or a resume booster. And when you throw in the fact that Auburn's potentially got some coaching intrigue there, it's a really interesting place to start. But yeah, Alabama and Oregon and Utah certainly want Auburn to beat Georgia this weekend. And then I'm sure the Ducks would be quite happy if Auburn took care of business against Alabama later in the month as well, to kind of throw away the Tide from the conversation. But yeah, Auburn has a lot to say over the next couple of weeks in terms of how the college football playoff picture is going to play out.
Chris Hummer joining us again, the national writer for college football with 24/7 Sports. You know, Chris, when I look at some of these matchups, sometimes you've got teams in this position where the season has not played out the way they wanted. In some cases, you don't know mentally, you know, where their mindset might be. Some cases, They just want to end the season and march on. But then again, you have certain situations. I threw out the example with a Kentucky team coming to town tomorrow here in Nashville against Vanderbilt, and you've got a Mark Stoops who is certainly one of the prime candidates to be the next head coach at Florida State, for example, and you've got a lot of coaches in this situation. So, you know, it helps them, and if you're a fan of a particular team, it helps your team perform well, knowing you've got coaches like that, that maybe they're more motivated to just besides trying to get a W, and they'll say all the right things, but also they're also thinking about their families and their career as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time of year where there's a lot of back channeling going on, a lot of agents kind of talking with people behind the scenes. I think the best coaches figure out a way to get their teams to stay in the moment and kind of attack the season. It doesn't always go that way. I've seen situations where it goes completely sideways when coaches start kind of talking about other jobs and have to address rumors about other jobs. But I think you see the better teams handled every season. I think Nick Saban has figured out a way. He has assistant coaches hired out from under him seemingly every offseason for bigger jobs, and he still gets his teams to kind of hammer down. And there are numerous examples of that. PJ Fleck has been mentioned for jobs coast to coast, USC and Florida State, and his Gophers did an excellent job last weekend coming off the bye. So, yeah, I think the better coaches handle those situations well and get their teams to concentrate, but there's certainly a lot of extra chatter this time of year.
Chris, I'd like to get your thoughts on this one. You know, I'm a Florida State grad. I've been in conversations with the Seminole Boosters Club, and so I know a little bit of what's going on behind the scenes, what went wrong, you know, the last search, et cetera, and the ways that they're trying to make sure the similar kind of mistakes don't happen again. But early on, you know, you got that list of, okay, these are nice four or five names. But before that, you also had the names of, like, Bob Stoops. I'm just not convinced that Bob Stoops wants to get into the 365-day, 24-hour, 7-day-a-week situation again as a head coach for a Power 5 conference team. But the other name that was out there, and it's like, well, why would he want to leave, knowing that he's probably in his dream job, per se, and that's James Franklin with Penn State. And the more and more I'm hearing behind the scenes that, you know, don't be so quick to dismiss that possibility. And you go and you start figuring out why. And the reasons is really simple. When you think about the ACC, you know, there's some, you know, nice, good teams that will be 6-6, 7-5. But how many Clemsons in the ACC are there? Just Clemson. And not unless Florida State is rocking and rolling. I bring it up because if you're Penn State, just in your division alone, you've got to deal with Ohio State. You have to deal with Michigan. You have to deal with Michigan State. And certainly here's a Penn State team that got shocked last week by Minnesota. They still have to, after Indiana, which is not an easy out, they have to deal with Ohio State in two Saturdays from now. You could see why all of a sudden nicer weather, the nice recruiting grounds of the state of Florida, why Florida State would be attractive to a James Franklin.
Yeah, often when there's smoke, there's a little bit of fire at least. And I've heard James Franklin's name brought up for Florida State and also U.S. whenever the Clay Helton situation gets brought out. And I know James Franklin's going to shoot all those conversations down, shoot all those rumors down. And he could very well end up staying at Penn State. That is an excellent job with a ton of tradition. But as you said, that job also comes with some hurdles. It is difficult to win in the Big Ten East. Penn State is one of three teams every season that legitimately believes it has a chance to win that division. And right now, Ohio State is probably the most talented team in the country, maybe outside of Alabama. So that's kind of a juggernaut to go against every year just to get out of your division on the college football playoff race. And recruiting in Pennsylvania, it's not like a bad place to recruit. You can dip into the DMV in Maryland and kind of the northeastern region. Penn State, being the only team that really excels from that area right now, has their kind of pickings of those guys. You're also not recruiting at a place as fertile as a place like Florida or a place like California. So I think if I was James Franklin and I was trying to figure out the easiest path to the championship, and when you're somebody at James Franklin's level, which is an elite head coach, you're looking for the easiest path to a championship and the place where you can sustain winning the easiest. The Big Ten East is a really difficult place to do that. The ACC Atlantic, on the other hand, you have to deal with Clemson, but there are certain advantages to be there, including being in Florida, and the rest of the ACC is pretty soft. And if you're talking about the Pac-12, that place is wide open. So if you're James Franklin, in my opinion, you at least have to give those two jobs a lot of attention this offseason, just because the ultimate goal of the head coach is to win a championship, and both of those places probably present a much less hindering path towards that goal.
Chris Hummer joining us again. Before we let you go, Clemson from the ACC right now. In fact, when we look at the possibilities, I threw out that number 11 earlier as far as teams with still national championship hopes. SEC with 3, Big Ten with 3, Pac-12 with 2, Big 12 with 2, and there's the ACC with 1. I've watched a Clemson team back in 16, 3-touchdown favorite, lose to Pittsburgh. 2017, same situation, triple. You know, they were over a 3-touchdown favorite against Syracuse, lose. Last year, they were a 3-plus touchdown favorite against Syracuse, needed that last gasp effort on that drive to win and beat them. And then earlier this year, we saw it against North Carolina. Once again, a situation where a 3-touchdown favorite, North Carolina decides to go for 2 with just over a minute to go. It fails. Clemson prevails. I bring it up because if you're a team that over the last, you know, 4 seasons that have shown us, even when they're favored by triple, you know, by 3 touchdowns or more, they have stumbled. That means they probably have maybe another one in them. If that is the case, if there is a game for Clemson, when will it occur? Will it be against Wake Forest this weekend, at South Carolina on the 30th, or in the ACC title game?
I would bet on none of the above. Clemson tends to get better as the season goes along. I think we've seen that historically. When they start to really get things going late in the year, most of those stumbles were in late September, early October, before the engine really gets revving. But if you had to pick one, I think you have to go with South Carolina. That's the most naturally talented team left on the schedule. Clemson has to go to South Carolina this season. That's not an easy place to play when it's rocking. But even when you kind of consider that, South Carolina is starting a true freshman quarterback. South Carolina is so thin at wide receiver right now. Walk-ons are getting legitimate runs and snaps. South Carolina is talented enough defensively to at least challenge Clemson, but I have a hard time seeing that team keep up. So unless Miami, and this Miami team has been extremely hot and cold this year, but unless Miami ends up coming out of the Coastal, which is a long shot at this point, kind of given what would have to break and what would have to occur in that division for Miami to come out, then I think Clemson's going to roll into the playoff, quite frankly. There's not much left in front of them to kind of stop them in their path, which is a team that's pretty dominant right now.
3 of your 4 scenarios did indeed occur early in the season, except, once again, 2016. It was after the second poll was released when they lose to Pittsburgh. So I'm not saying it's over yet. We've seen too many wild things in football this year. Where you have teams that were, look at Wisconsin, 31-point favorite, and they lose. So nothing's out of the realm of possibility. That's why this year, to me, I think we still have some chaos to in store for us before we wrap things up. Hey, do me a favor, Chris, before we let you go, remind folks how they can keep up with your coverage year-round and also what they can expect as far as college football coverage with 24/7 Sports.
Yeah, just keep it locked to your favorite 24/7 Sports network site, whether it's reading me over at the 24/7 Sports homepage or your favorite fan. And what you can expect is the best coverage of any college football reporters out there. Keep you locked wall to wall, from coaching searches to playoff chases. So, yeah, we're your home for college football coverage.
Well, Chris, thank you again, especially stepping in with the last-minute emergencies that came up for Trey, and I will certainly be reaching out to you again. But until then, have a wonderful college football weekend.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you again. That's Chris Hummer, national writer of college football for 24/7 Sports. Coming up, we'll wrap things up for hour number 2. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Still heavy traffic flow now trying to get past this accident scene where they're rubbernecking here in Rutherford County. It's 24 eastbound at Highway 96. Again, that's as you head out towards Murfreesboro. You see that big backup. There's a wreck with injuries. Trinity Lane at Scruggs, 440 eastbound between Hillsboro Pike and Franklin Pike. On that accident, TDOT's trying to get to it right now and move it out of your way. Hey, get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart Fare, save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time. Traffic.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue, and welcome to the OVC Football Weekly Spotlight presented by Delta Dental of Tennessee. The state's leading dental benefits carrier now offers Delta Vision in partnership with VSP. Protect your eyes and smile with Delta Dental of Tennessee. Visit DeltaDentalTN.com to learn more. With matching 5-1 records in league play with 2 weeks remaining, Austin Peay and Southeast Missouri are tied atop the OVC standings. The teams play the same two opponents, Eastern Illinois and Murray State, the next 2 weeks. If both teams win out, Austin Peay earns the league's automatic bid to the FCS playoffs with its win over SEMO earlier this year. Austin Peay has never appeared in the playoff, and its lone OVC championship came in 1977. Eastern Illinois got its first victory of the season at Tennessee State. The Panthers had not had a 100-yard rusher this season, but two running backs, Darshawn McCullough with 155 yards and Jalen Benefield with 105, went over the century mark. The top three FCS national leaders in receiving yards all hail from the OVC. Tennessee State's Chris Rowland has 1,289 yards, while Austin Peay's D'Angelo Wilson has 1,092, and SEMO's Christian Wilkerson has 1,085. Wilkerson was named OVC Offensive Player of the Week, while Austin Peay lineman Josephus Smith was Defensive Player of the Week. Rowland and Tennessee Techer Haydar Zanan shared Specialist of the Week honors, while Benefield was Newcomer of the Week. Tennessee Tech picked up its 150th all-time victory at Tucker Stadium in the year of the 150th anniversary of college football with a 37-27 victory over Jacksonville State. Austin Peay at Murray State Saturday is the ESPN 3 game of the week, while the other three games, SEMO at Eastern Illinois, Tennessee Tech at Eastern Kentucky, and TSU at UT Martin, are on ESPN+. This has been the OVC Football Weekly Spotlight presented by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Unleash your smile power with Delta Dental. I'm Greg Pogue wishing everybody a great weekend of OVC football.
This open enrollment season, roll with a dental plan that gives you smile power. When you need to return a shirt, but the return clerk looks like a tough customer. When you're in the 10 items or less line, with 11 items or more. You need the nation's largest network of smile-defending dentists to protect your healthy grin, so you can unleash your smile power. Unleash your smile power with Delta Dental of Tennessee. Talk to your employer or visit coveryourmouth.com today to learn more.
Oh, wow. What was that?
I think that was a red-tailed hawk. Pretty awesome.
Kentucky is home to nearly 1,000 species of animals, and many of these need our help.
Funding just isn't keeping up.
However, you can help out.
You can help save these species by becoming a member of Kentucky Wild.
When you join, you'll be directly supporting wildlife facing threats across our state.
And there's some pretty good perks for you, too.
To find out more, visit fw.ky.gov/kywild.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Coming up just after 6, don't forget Alan Bell talking week 11 of the NFL. He is with CBS Sportsline. Then at 6:45, Ensworth, the Tigers taking on Briarcrest over in Memphis. Jonathan Schaefer, along with Greg Pogue, Dan Bradley, Adam Johnson on the site to make sure everything runs smoothly there. Jay Henson at halftime, and after the game, we'll have a scoreboard update of all the playoff action throughout the area and state. This hour being brought to you by friends with Lanham's AC Service, your local Rude Pro partner. Whether you're talking about the cold winter months or the hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service, your local Rude Pro partner. From heating and cooling issues to even water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service and Rude HVAC equipment with a system that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business, and they do it with the name brands like Rude you have come to trust. I should know, I have not one but two Rude units in my house, plus I've been a loyal customer of Lanham's AC Service for almost a decade. Remember as well, financing is available, and they service and repair all brands. So call today, schedule a service or maintenance call, or even if you're looking into from a preventative measure, making sure your unit is all geared up for the winter months ahead. 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065. Let them know your friends here at Nashville Sports Radio sent you. Or for more information, go online, lanhamsacservice.com. Hour number two in the books. Hour number three on the way. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.